We were studying in Sunday school this morning about Joseph, and his family sold him out, went down to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife sold him out, or Potiphar sold him out, however you want to say it. The butler sold him out. But, you know, I'm convinced that he had a vision. That's a poor choice of words. He had a word from God.
Amen.
He had a word from God, and I believe he just, even though he couldn't, I'm convinced he didn't understand hardly what was going on. Everything he touched went south, seemed like. And God gave him favor again, then he'd go south again, seemed like. But he knew, here's what he knew, in the end, is all going to work out okay. He just knew that. And God took all those things and just molded and shaped that good man of God and made him what he wanted him to be. My, we go through things you can't understand, but we know God's in control. He's still on the throne. And I'm just persuaded of this, that Romans 8:28 still applies to our heart and lives today. And so all things the Lord's going to work out for our good some way or another. Now, anybody else before we preach this morning? All right, you go ahead, Missy. John chapter number 3, while Missy's being obedient. John chapter number 3. I'm going to begin reading down in verse number 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Our dear Heavenly Father, this morning as I come to you, I realize there's a sense of a spirit of worship, a sense of looking toward heaven. And Lord, I ask you, if you would now, to just give me direction. I ask you, Father, if you would, to help us this service. I ask you to do the very work that needs doing. And oh God, I ask that you'll just touch my mind. And I ask you, Lord, to just help me to be focused, and I ask you to help me to say what needs saying with clarity. And Lord, if there's anything that would hinder, if there's any distractions in this building, I ask you would get them still. I ask you would quieten us down. Whatever it is we need to keep the distractions out, Father, would you help us this morning? And please do the work in the hearts and lives of the listeners that needs doing. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to come back to Nicodemus and spend a little time. And anytime I come to a familiar text, the Lord puts a familiar text on my heart. Here's what the devil will say to me. There's no need to preach that. Everybody already knows that. But the fact of the matter is, we are to bring to remembrance truths that's been taught to you down through the years. And you never know what the Lord's doing. And so I, in obedience to Him over the next, if the Lord doesn't change my mind, over the next 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to deal with John chapter 3, 4, and 5. Now, here's the situation. Nicodemus was a religious sinner. He was a church-going sinner. He was no doubt a tithing sinner. He no doubt was a scripture memorization sinner, if I can say, if there is such a phrase like that. And Nicodemus would have been thought to have been a man who was a good man. We use this, we said he was a religious sinner. But he was dissatisfied. He come to Jesus. He supposedly had superior knowledge. Jesus said this in verse 10, "Art thou master of Israel?" The teacher of Israel. Some say that meant he was the teacher of Israel. Instead of A, that it should be the. Now, the Bible says A, and I think that's what it means. He was one of the great teachers of Israel. And he said this to him, and no, don't you know what you're talking about? How can you not understand? You see, Jesus had said this to him, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I want to say to you today, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Now, here's what a lot of folks is counting on, an experience. They're counting on an experience. And my salvation is an experience. There's no doubt about that. But they're counting on maybe the fact that they shed tears. Maybe they're counting on the fact that their preacher told them, if you do this, you're saved. And you'll go to heaven. Maybe they're counting on this or counting on that. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible teaches you must be born again. Now, here's my question to you. Have you been born again? Now, here's what some of y'all may be saying. Well, what really is that? Now, let me just share this with you. Every salvation is the same in some ways, but every salvation is different in other ways. And you can't take an experience of one and judge your salvation by that. But I want to talk to you this morning. Here's Nicodemus who thought he was smart. No doubt his spiritual knowledge was a roadblock to him getting to the Lord. And so the Lord had to prove to him he wasn't as smart as he thought he was. And so that's what he does. And he gets Nicodemus to that place. In verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How? How can a man be born again?" And then down in verse number 9, "How can these things be?" Now here's a smart man saying, "I don't understand. How can these things be?" Now he was a church-going man, but he didn't know much. He didn't know. He might knew a lot of things, but he didn't know the important things. The important thing is for you to know how you can be right in the eyes of God and go to heaven when you leave this life. That's the important thing. And so Jesus is, he's telling him you must be born again. And he said, "How? I don't understand." And then in verse number 11, Jesus identifies the problem. He said, "We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." He said, "You won't receive the words I'm telling you." Can I tell you, we have the words of Jesus. This Bible is the Lord's love letter to you and I. And if we won't receive that, sinner, if you're here today and you won't receive what thus saith the Word of God, then you're ignorant and you're unlearned and you don't know anything about spiritual matters. If you're going to be wise, you have to know what thus saith the Word of God. That's just how it is. I don't care if you've got a PhD or you've got whatever you've got, initials after your name, whatever it is, put whatever you want. You're a fool if you don't understand how it is and what you have to do to be born again, because that's the only way you're going to heaven. I really wanted to just kind of be still and get some truths across, but it stirs my soul. There's people argues with a man of God that don't read their Bible 15 minutes a week. That's right. Brother Miller, that is exactly right. The ones that read the least and pray the least and study the least, they act like they know the most. That's right. This is a spiritual book, and it can only be discerned spiritually. And I've even seen sinners try to tell me what the Word of God has to say. Here's what I'm trying to say. This thing of a false sense of knowledge keeps a lot of people from going on with God. And so was it with Nicodemus. And if you're not going to receive what thus saith the Word of God, you're going to stay in your ignorance. You're going to be saying how and how. And if you want to be wise, now how did the Lord go about educating Nicodemus? What did he do? I mean, if you want to be, if you say this, preacher, I'm kind of foolish. I'd like to be wise, spiritually speaking. Well, what do you have to do? Can I tell you what you have to do? You have to learn about Jesus. That's right. Hey, I want you to notice where the focus was with Nicodemus. The focus with this sinner. And sinner, if you're going to be wise, you're going to have to learn about the Savior. You're going to have to get some truth about the Savior. Otherwise, you're going to be foolish your whole life. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't learn about the Savior. So I want you to just look. If I can just kind of pinpoint some of these truths. And then I want to go over to Numbers 21. And that's where I really want to camp out for just a few minutes today, if the Lord will be my helper. Now the first thing he says, no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven. Now here's what Jesus is saying. Now let me say this to you all. There's not a debate about God. The Muslims believe in God. That's right. They believe in God. The Buddhists believe in God. I reckon they do. As far as I know, they do. But you know where the real debate about? You know where the real debate, who the real debate is about? It's about Jesus. That's right. The real issue with the Jewish religion and all these other religions, it's not about God. They believe in God, but it's about Jesus. And Jesus, you know why the devil makes such a deal about Jesus? Because he's the only way you can get to heaven. That's right. You can believe in God and go to hell. That's so. I mean, the Jewish people, they believe there's a God. They believe one day he's going to send the Messiah. But many of them died and went to hell because they would not place faith in Jesus. It got real quiet in here, but that's so. I'm telling you right this morning. And so now, Jesus, this Nicodemus, he's hunting for something. And Jesus says this to him, "Ye must be born again if you're going to see and enter the kingdom of heaven. Ye must be born again." The man, that puts him in dark. He don't understand that. And so now Jesus is going to begin to educate him about himself. And the first thing he says was, let me read it again. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Now he said two things here. He said, "I didn't start. My life didn't start when I was born, but I came from heaven. I was eternal." Can I say it that way? I want to ask you, do you believe Jesus is eternal? Amen. I believe he was. I believe, he didn't just show up. He didn't just come into existence when he was born there in Bethlehem. He come down from heaven. That's right. I'm telling you right, Brother Miller. He, our Savior was, He was alive 20,000 years ago, 20 million years ago. Our Savior's always been. He just come down to Bethlehem and was born of a virgin so He could walk among us and save us from our sins. He's always been. He's eternal. That's right. I'm telling you right. You're going to have to accept that fact. You see what the Lord's doing is educating Nicodemus about Himself. Jesus is educated, and He's saying this, I'm eternal. I'm eternal. Now He goes on and He says this, no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven. He's from heaven. Even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Well, I thought Jesus was talking to Nicodemus on the earth. He says this, He said, even the Son of Man which is, present tense, in heaven. He's in heaven, He's down here. Here's what I'm saying. Jesus is omnipresent through the Holy Spirit. That's right, He's everywhere. Wherever you go, He's there with you. That's right. I can show you that in the book of John. We can study that out. The Lord's with us this morning. The Lord's with. He's everywhere. You can run. You can play Jonah and run. Try to get away, but can I tell you, when you run as far as you can run, and you've exhausted all your energy in trying to get away from God, there'll be God standing there. That's right. Lord will be there. Well, He's omnipresent. And so here's what Jesus, He told Nicodemus, you wouldn't receive our witness. But now He starts giving him some truth because he's in a position to listen. And sinner, till you get in a position to listen, you're not going to get much help. If you know it all and you have all the answers, you're not going to get much help. And that's where the work of the Holy Spirit comes in, getting you ready to receive the truths of the Word of God. And so Jesus is eternal. He's omnipresent. But now we're going to get into specifics. And He says this, and He meets Nicodemus on common ground. Nicodemus knows the Old Testament. Nicodemus is wise to the words of Numbers, the book of Numbers. And he says this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's not the end of the sentence, but it's a colon. Now keep in mind this, Jesus is responding to Nicodemus's question of how. I mean, he's answering this how. And he said this, I'm from heaven. I've always been. I'm come from heaven. And really he said, I'm going back to heaven. And the fact of the matter is, he said, I'm in heaven now. I'm omnipresent. Now what he's doing, he's answering the how question. You might be saying there, how do I be saved? The Jehovah's Witness say one thing. The Catholics say another. The Presbyterians have something else. The Church of Christ preach the water baptism. And on and on and on, different folks. You say everybody knows how to go to heaven? Apparently not. We wouldn't have all these religions we have if they did. It seems we live in a world that very few people know how to go to heaven. Maybe we ought to start preaching the way to heaven again. What do you think? Oh my, do you know how to get to heaven this morning? If you don't, right here's the answer. You must be born again. Have you been born again? Do you just have some kind of little experience and you went down one way and come up the same? Hey, do you remember a time when God changed you and made a new creature out of you? You better listen to the preacher. I don't care what experience you've had. You can't go back to a time that you say in your heart, God made a difference. I believe I'd check up this morning. Well, hallelujah. I'm not preaching like I thought I would this morning, but I'm telling you right. You know I'm telling you right. These folks running around thinking everything's all right and they've never been born again. Oh my, well, how are you going to be born again? We see it in verse 14. Here's what he says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, when you're born again, it's just like a physical birth. When a little baby's born physically, life comes into existence. And when a little spiritual baby's born again, eternal life comes into existence. When you're born again, you get eternal life. Eternal, that means it never ends. That means it never stops. Some people say you can do things and that eternal life will stop. It wouldn't be eternal if it stopped. It's everlasting life. It lasts on and on and on. You get that. It's never taken away from you. In fact, you don't even keep eternal life. You're kept by the power of God. Listen, sinner, if you get saved, you can't lose it because you're not keeping it. God keeps us. He keeps His children. He said, of them you give me, I've not lost any of them. He started out with 100 sheep and He'll end up with 100 sheep. Amen. God's not lost any of them. I understand what He said about old Judas. I know the context of that. Can I tell you, those been born again, He every one of them's kept. They'll see heaven one of these days. Well, that's so. I used the illustration. I did it here not long ago. I give Brother Bud my ink pen. Said, Brother Bud, keep that pen. Could I lose it if Brother Bud's keeping it? Could I lose it? I couldn't lose it. Brother Bud's keeping my pen. Can I tell you who's keeping you saved? The Lord is. Amen, Brother Miller. My, that takes a great pressure off me. That just tells me I need to serve Him and love Him. It makes me want to serve Him more. I'm reminded of that story about that old slave. And they said the guy was bidding on him. The Englishman, you've heard it. There's 100 versions of it out there. Everybody tells it a little different. But bottom line, they were bidding on this slave. Every time that Englishman would bid, he'd spit at him. And he'd spit, he'd bid again, he'd spit at him again. He'd bid again, he'd spit. Finally he won the bid and went up to the slave and he said, the slave looked him in the eye and said to him, I'll never serve you. With hatred and anger and malice in his voice, I'll never serve you. He said, sir, you don't understand. I didn't buy you to make a servant out of you. I bought you to set you free. And the old slave fell at his feet, wrapped his hands around him, said, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And you know that's a picture of the Lord. That's the way it works, friends. I don't know, maybe I'm just a rambling this morning, but I'm telling you, we serve a Savior that's something worth serving. And I don't know how I got there, but let me get back to the message. Here he is. And he said, as Moses lift up the serpent. And so I thought this morning what would be good. I know I've been up for a little while, but I thought what would be good is to go over to Numbers and just look at what happened over there. So let's turn, if you would. And I want to spend just a little bit of time. I believe it's Numbers 21. If you have your Bibles, let's just go over there and see if I can find it right quick. Yeah, let's start. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's start in verse number 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They just perjured themselves. They said there's no bread, but our soul loatheth this light bread. Seems to me they just contradicted themselves. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against thee, praying to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forth and pitched in Obal. Now here's what the Lord said back in our text. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And here's what he's doing. He's making a type. He's taking the Old Testament and he's preaching a type. A lot of folks don't like to hear you preach on types, but the Lord did that. And so here he is. He's comparing and keep in mind, he's answering the question of how. How? How can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb? How can these things be? That's what he's answering. And he comes over here to answer the question, and he's showing that this is a picture of how you can be born again. That's what he's trying to get across to us. When we look at this, we see a picture of the new birth. He's answering the how question. And so in our text we see this. They complained about the path God had given them to travel. They were complainers. God does not like murmuring and complaining. You just write that down. If you've got an old murmuring and complaining spirit, God's displeased with that. I believe it's sin in the eyes. He said, do all things without murmuring and complaining. I believe it's sin when people, God's people especially, it's sin to murmur and complain. I believe it's sin to the sinner to murmur and complain. And so here they are, the murmur and complain, and they're complaining about the provision, the path of God. And they complained about their provisions. And they really complained about the man of God. You really want to get down to it. They just didn't like or were satisfied with what God had for them. They're taking it out on the man of God. But then I want you to notice what the Lord did. The Lord didn't say, well, it'll be okay. I understand you're having a hard time. We'll just try to tolerate it. No, he didn't say that. Here's what he said. His response was he sent fiery. You study that word, it means burning, poisons. I guess when they were bitten, the poison sent a burn through the body. I suspect. They burn it. Some folks imply that meant, when it said fiery, a red, a copper-colored serpent. I don't know. Maybe we could get the blood out of that some way or another. I don't know. Maybe we could see how that sapped the life out of those people. Took the blood out of them. It robbed them of life. Life's in the blood and it robbed them of the life. I don't know. I don't know the implication there. You may know better than I. But the serpents bit the people. And when it bit the people, it put poison in their body. It corrupted them. It made them sick so that they died. And I want you to notice some things that happened with these people. Here they was complaining, but when the serpents came and they started dying, I want you to notice what it said in verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Can I tell you what I see there? I see a change of mind. I see somebody change their mind. Hey, can I tell you, sinner, it's okay to change your mind. Some folks get stubborn. And they say this, I'm stubborn like my mama, my papa. They take great pride in being stubborn. I'm telling you, God looks on stubbornness as a great sin. Oh my, God doesn't like stubbornness. So here they are, and God sends judgment upon them. And you know what they do? They change their mind. You know what that change of mind did? It changed the way they were acting. They quit murmuring, Brother Allen. The way you think affects the way you act. When they change their mind, they change the way they're acting. You know what that's a definition of?
Brother Brian said it last night. That's repentance. Don't you know what that is? Sinner, if you do not repent, you're going to perish. Oh, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They changed their mind. See, there's somewhere you're going to have to change your mind about yourself and about God, about your condition. Instead of being cocky and saying, hey, I don't need God. I'm living my life. I'm having it the good way. Hey, just leave me alone, preacher. I don't need your preaching, preacher. You know what you're going to have to do, sinner? You're going to have to admit you're a sinner. That's what they said. We have sinned. That's what it says. We have sinned. They changed their mind about who they was. You know what they're really saying? Let's just read on. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Praying to the Lord, he takes away the serpents from us. Here's what they're saying, we need help. Lord, if I could say it this way, here's what they said. Here's what they said. Lord, we need your help. I'm going to tell you, until that sinner sees himself as a sinner, he'll never be saved. That's right. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. I understand that. That's why I'm careful about trying to twist and pull on folk. But I'm telling you, that sinner has to see saved. And he has to say this, I'm a sinner. And sinner, it's okay for you to say that. In fact, you're getting on good grounds to get help from God when you'll be honest about it. That's right. We've sinned. And we want you to pray to God. And we want you to pray. Oh my, you know what they're saying? They changed their mind about God. That's exactly right. Hey, they're complaining. Wherefore have you brought us up? They're complaining about God's path, God's provision, God's person, God's man, if you don't say it that way. They're complaining about all that. Not now. They've changed their mind about God. You may not need God, sinner friend, but let me tell you, one day, if God grants you repentance, I'm saying to you, you're going to change your mind about yourself. Instead of saying, I don't want no God, I don't need God, I'm living my life, you'll say, hey, somebody pray, I need help from God. That's what it's going to take. You know what we're answering? The how of the new birth. How? How can these things be? How can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb? Be born. We're answering the how. And he's taking us over here to a bunch of people that were sinners and they changed their mind about themselves. At first they said, hey, we don't like what God's done for us. We don't like the way he wants us to walk. We don't like what his man has to say. We don't like his provision. Now they're saying this about themselves. We're sinners. When they started, they weren't saying we're sinners. Oh, no. Now they're saying we're sinners. And they're not saying, hey, God, we're dissatisfied. We're unhappy. We don't want to. You know what they're saying now about God? Help us. God, we need you to help us. Oh, Moses, pray to God that he'll help us. That's repentance. That's a change of mind. Let's see what else we see. By the way, we see conviction in that. When they say we have sinned, that's Holy Spirit conviction, letting them know they're sinners. God has to awaken the sinner. Now listen, it takes the Spirit of God to have a spiritual birth. I'm telling you what we've done today. Can I tell you what's going on today? We're saving people in the flesh. We're not really saving, but we're calling it that. We're so-called seeing them saved in the flesh. We're raising them up. They're getting on Baptist pews, making Baptist decisions. They have not one ounce of spirit. They have no Spirit of God on the inside to give them spiritual discernment. And everything in the world's going on in the house of God. You know that's right. We're reaping. We're reaping that spirit of that spirit of pragmatism. That means large numbers and get them in at any cost. Here they are. The people changed their mind. They quit complaining. They're confessing. They're sinners. They asked God's man to pray for them. And Moses prayed for them. My, we could see we can see all kinds of things. We see repentance and conviction. We see intercessory prayer. When Moses prayed, God honored that prayer. And I'm just foolish enough to believe intercessory prayer still works. I'm not foolish. I'm smart enough to believe intercessory prayer still works, Brother Miller. I believe it today. I just believe God. I just believe God responds to intercessory prayer. I tell you what's wrong. We don't have enough of it going on today. That's why we're not seeing things happen. There's not enough intercessors calling out on God. Amen. I bet we'd be ashamed if we could add the cumulative prayer hours this congregation offered up to God this week. If God would just flash that on the board, on the wall back here, I suspect many of us would drop our head in shame. I suspect that. I'll tell you why intercessory prayer don't work. We're not accessing it. We're not crawling in our secret place, begging God to give us a burden, begging God to do a work on our lost loved ones. I'm telling you, do you really believe the effects of what Brady taught this morning, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Do you really believe that? Here's what you would say. Yeah, I believe that, preacher. Your actions don't prove that. How many of you really would have to say, I may be the blackest sheep in the bunch. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you the truth. Our actions say we really don't believe prayer works like the Bible says it does. That's right. If you believe the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, I believe we'd be praying a whole lot more. I believe we'd live on our knees. I'm telling you, God honors prayer this morning. Moses prayed and God honored that prayer. He will honor your prayers. The devil's whipped us and beat us up over prayer. We just live defeated. We're like the old farmer, West Virginia, just eked out a living on the farm. When he died, the coal company bought his land, dug under the ground a few feet, and there was just the richest vein of coal in all of West Virginia, sitting on a gold mine the whole time. But he didn't know how to access it. He didn't know how to access it. Can I tell you, prayer is our access to God. That takes us to the throne of grace to find help. And you can go on behalf of your loved ones if you would. That's what Moses did. That's right. I'll tell you why it's not working in your life, in your family. You're not practicing it this morning. Oh my, I hate to say that. I hate to say that, but that's probably right. That's not for some of you. There's some of you just not. You're just not interceding like you ought to. We see that in this text. We see lordship. You really want to get down to it. And I know a lot of folks struggle with that. They said this, pray unto the Lord. They had a Lord. They wanted the Lord now. They're ready. I think about this thing of lordship, and I think about the old guy that Bill Snarley talked to in Oak Ridge. If I remember the story right, he had a beer in his hand. Bill witnessed to him, said, "You need to be saved one of these days." He said, "Man, sign me up." He said, "Just sign me up. I won't be saved right now. I won't go to heaven." Now, of course, there's no repentance, but he didn't want a Lord. He didn't want somebody. He didn't want somebody that to be over his life and for him to yield to, line up behind. Hey, here's what they said. You pray to the Lord. You pray to the Lord. Sinner, you're going to have to be willing. You're going to have to be willing to submit to God. Humble your heart, submit to God. I'm not trying to preach it hard. The Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. I didn't know about all these things. All I knew was a sinner on my way to hell, and there's a Savior said He'd save me. And I knew there's a horrible place called hell. I called out and said, "God save me, God save me." I didn't know about repentance. I didn't know about conviction. I didn't know about anything. I just knew I was a sinner on my way to hell. And I needed salvation. And I knew where to go and who to call on. I called out to God. And He saved my unworthy soul. He'll do that for you today, sinner. He surely will. In this plan, I see repentance and conviction, intercessory prayer and lordship. But with God, that's on the people's part. That's the sinner's part. What do we see with God?
Can I say, with God, we see mercy. Really, those people didn't deserve to live. They were guilty of what God was judging them of. But here's what they said to Moses. You pray to God on our behalf. And you know what God did? For no reason, Brother Bud, but because of His character. He showed them mercy. He showed them mercy. We're still answering the question of how. How can a man be born again? I'm going to tell you how a man be born again. The Savior has to be lifted up. Lifted up. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just back up. I'll jump the gun if I'm not careful. Let me just say it this way. God has to show you mercy if you're ever going to be born again. You ain't going to earn it. You ain't going to deserve it. You're not going to work it out. There's just God in heaven. Because He loves you, He's going to look upon you and show you mercy. That's right. That's what He done right here. Therefore, the people came to Moses. And here's what the Lord said to Moses. Let me just follow the text. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. That's a picture of Jesus. That's a picture. You say, how can Jesus be a picture of a fiery serpent? Jesus was cursed. He became a curse for you and I. He took the curse of sin that was on us. He took it upon Him. He became a curse. Do you know the serpent was cursed in the garden? Do you know the Bible said, cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree? The serpent was hanging there on the pole. The pole is a type of the cross. Jesus, the brass, do you know that brass serpent had no venom in it? There's no poison in that brass serpent. They wasn't them servants crawling around. But that servant on the pole? No, I'm persuaded you could have stuck your hand right on its mouth and it couldn't have done you no harm. There's no harm in that brass servant. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of Jesus. Pilate said this 3 times, I believe it was, I find no fault in Him. That's right. He was without sin, but He became sin for you and I. Hey, that serpent's a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. We're answering the question, how can a man be born again? How can a man be born again? It's about Jesus hanging on the cross. That's right. And so there he was, he's hanging on the cross. They put Him up there. And can I just say some things about this little plan? We see mercy and grace. We see love and compassion. We see something odd, the plan. The plan was unusual. You say, now listen, I'm going to go down to the medical doctor and I'm going to ask him if I get snake bit, if I look upon that pole, I'll be healed. You know what the physicians of that day would have said? They said, there's no way that'll work, Brother Bud. That's what they said. The intellect of that day would have said, that's crazy. If you get snake bit, if you get corrupted, if you get poisoned, you better get some medical attention. If you look at a pole, that's not going to do one bit of good. But God said, if you'll look at that brass serpent hanging on that pole, you'll be healed. Hey, you know what? That didn't fit the intellectual world. That didn't fit the medical world. Can I tell you, it's an unusual plan. But can I tell you, it's a good plan. It worked. If they did it, they lived. Hallelujah. It didn't matter what the intellect said. It didn't matter what the physician said. God spoke and it was so. That's how it was. Amen. Well, can I tell you, it may seem strange to you. I've actually thought about how could a man dying on the cross. Let me just say 2,000. I know he lived 30 years, but let's just say 2,000 years ago. How could that change my life? That really don't make sense. I mean, people that died 2 generations ago, Brother Miller, don't seem to have affected my life. Maybe they did, passing their genes on down. I don't know, but Fact of the matter is, as far as practicality and experimentally, they've not affected my life. They're dead and gone. But can I tell you what the Bible says? If we'll look to Calvary 2,000 years ago, if you'll look to that one hanging on a cross, being the curse, taking the curse upon Himself for the curse or the sin of the whole world, you can be healed.
you can be healed. Can I say it this way? In context to Nicodemus, you can be born again. You can be born again. You say it's an unusual plan. Can I tell you? There's only one plan. Here's what some folks say. I'm just going to be a good person. Everything will be all right. Hey, your good works are... There's good works people in hell today. They're in hell. They no doubt, many of them were better than you and I were, morally speaking. But they never accepted the Lord. And they're in hell today. Good works won't do it. It won't do it. It don't say anything about the works. In fact, they didn't do anything. But look, all they did is get their eyes on that brass serpent on the pole. And when they did that, their healing came. Oh, I'm saying to you today, it was an unusual plan, but there's only one plan. Can I tell you? It's for everybody. Now, he didn't say this. Now, the elect can look, and they're going to live, but some of you got snake bitten, you're going to die, and it ain't nothing you can do about it. That's what we call Calvinism. I'm going to be bold and say this. It's a damnable doctrine. That's right. It poisons people. I'll never forget me and my dad pastored up above Sunbright. I'll never forget we was in Pilot Mountain. Little community down below the church. Pulled up. I could tell you the fellow's last name I won't, because the last time I called a name out, somebody in Knoxville heard the broadcast and knew who I was talking about. We walked up on the back porch, and there was an old fella. He's a drunk, but he's about half sober that morning. We got there, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock. Dad tried to talk to him about his soul, and he said, well, if it's meant to be, it will be. It will be. I'm telling you, I feel comfortable. He probably died, and he's in hell tonight. I'm telling you, it's a damnable doctrine. You better stay away from it. But this plan was for everybody. You might say today, God won't save me. No, His plan is for you today. Here's what some folks say. Well, maybe I just need to get away from these snakes and get myself better. And then the Lord will accept me. No, see, He heals. In a new birth, He takes care of the sin problem. I know I say this all the time, but I think it's a good statement. You can't do right until you've been made right. And here's what the devil say: you need to straighten up your life, then God will accept you. You can't straighten up your life. You're a sinner. You know what sinners do by nature? They sin. That's as normal as a dog barking or a cat purring or a squirrel climbing a tree for a sinner to sin. He has a sin nature. But when you get born again, God gives you a spiritual nature and cleans you up and puts the Holy Spirit down on the inside to help you live right. That's right. Well, here it was. Let me try to get through this plan. I need to wrap it up. It's an unusual plan. It was only one plan, not multiple plans. There's one way to heaven. It was for all people. Wasn't just a handful. No one was excluded. Everyone was healed the same way. That's right. Wasn't of works. It was looking to the cross. And can I tell you, the plan was sudden and immediate. I mean, when they looked, they were healed. It wasn't a process. Oh no. When they looked, they were healed. And can I tell you, you read nowhere in that Bible where they got bit again, had to look again. Once they got healed, it was a done deal. It's over. That's right, Brother Miller. It's sealed. I mean, that transaction was completed. Hallelujah. When you get born again, it's a done deal, friend. You might as well accept that. Oh, my. No, they didn't come back. Another state by them and say, oh, I got to look again. One time, done it. My, that's how it is with salvation. This old picture of Jesus on the cross, he's answering the question, Nicodemus, how can man be born again? He said it's about looking to Jesus on the cross. I know it seems unusual. It's only one way. He didn't give him two or three ways. It's one way. I know the intellectual world will laugh and mock at it, but it's still so. I did it. I know. I looked and I got healed. I know what I'm talking about. And you know why you won't be saved this morning? Because you won't receive the witness that God sent your way. That's exactly right. But if you will, God will save your unworthy soul today. Amen. Well, it produced sudden and immediate healing. It was all sufficient. There's not one that said, well, I just about got healed. I got to feeling better, but I had a relapse. No, it was a complete healing. Complete healing. That's what the Lord done. Hey, they didn't get healed before they looked. And sinner, you'll not get saved till you look to Calvary. It's Jesus that took your sins there on Calvary that day. It's Jesus that suffered in your place and bore your penalty for your sins. The Father had to, He has to punish sins. He wouldn't be just if He didn't punish sins. But aren't you glad He punished them through His Son Jesus and didn't make us pay for them? Oh, I say hallelujah for that. I'm glad He sent somebody to stand in my place and suffer my penalty. And if I'll look and I'll believe and I'll pray and call out to God, He'll save you, sinner. He'll save you. I don't know how much more you can say about it. Can I tell you this? The plan didn't cost them anything. Oh, He didn't say, okay, get your copay out. He didn't say this. Now this is going to cost you this much, and it's not everything that it costs. We're going to pay part of the cost. You pay. He paid it all. That's what happened there. They looked. It didn't cost anything. All they had to do is look. They had to look. It was undeserving by those who were blessed with it. I've already said that. Here's what Nicodemus said. How can a man be born again? He says this in our text. Let me go back to it and read it. Just read it to you. He said this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must, if you want to study the must in the third and fourth chapter, these four of them, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now here's what it says, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Now here's what it's saying. Had Moses said, if you'll look to that brass serpent you limb, they said, we don't believe a word of that, Moses. We're not going to believe it. I ain't looking because I know that's stupid. That's foolish. What you're saying is the silliest thing I've ever heard of. I'm not looking. Can I tell you, they'd have died from their corruption. Sinner, that's where you're at today. Here's what Jesus said, you're going to have to believe in me. I wonder today. He said, now let me just redress that. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Let me just read the next one. One of the greatest verses, I guess, in the Word of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to ask you, sinner, do you believe today? Has God granted you repentance? Have you had a change in mind about who you are, who God is? Has He convicted you? Has He convicted you? You say, what is conviction? Can I tell you what it was for me? It may not be the same for everybody, but all I can tell you is what happened to me. When I got convicted, all of a sudden I realized I was a deserving sinner of hell. I'll never forget it, sinner. Let me just tell you. I'd lay in my bed of a night and the Holy Ghost would say, if you died, you're going to hell. And I was afraid to go to sleep. I was afraid to. Because I knew if I didn't wake up, I'd wake up in hell. And once I got there, I could never get out. I wasn't smart, but I knew. I knew hell's a horrible place. And I didn't want to go. I got afraid. I would actually be afraid in my bed that I might go to hell because I was a sinner. That's conviction. The Holy Spirit made it real. He made me feel guilty. He brought conviction. The judge pounds the gavel and says, you're guilty. That fellow's just being convicted of a crime. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing. He convicts you. And when He does, if you'll change your mind about who you are and say, oh, I'm a sinner. And God, I do need You. I know I said I didn't need You and I didn't want You, but I need You to help me and save me. And you'll call on Him. Can I tell you?
He'll save you. And when we say saved, here's what happens. He births a new man. That's how you get eternal life. There's a new creature that has eternal life. You see this, what you see is going to die. It's going to die and go to the dust. This flesh doesn't have eternal life. Now, I know it'll be a glorified body one day, and in a sense it is, but if the Lord tarries, I'm going to experience a physical death, but never a spiritual death. Because there's a spiritual birth that took place. And with that spiritual birth come eternal life. Now, sinner, here's what I'm saying. You can't see the kingdom of God except, or enter the kingdom of God, except you be born again. And the way you're born again is to look and live. Look and live. You got to look to Calvary. Believe the gospel. Here's the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ came from earth, lived a sinless life, took our sins upon Him, marched up Calvary's hill, suffered our penalty at the hands of a just God, was buried, and on the third day rose again. He's alive today, sinner. Don't you understand? Our God's not like the rest of them. Our God's alive. He loves sinners. He came to say, seek and to save sinners. He may be seeking you out this morning. Has He sought you out? Is He seeking you? Is He knocking at your heart's door? If He is, you need to be saved. And here's what I'll tell you. Look to Calvary and live. Look to Calvary and live. Brother King, Sister King's going to come to the piano. Brother Bud's going to come with a song. I want you to bow your head this morning. Say, preacher, you're preaching just what we've already known. I'm preaching what God gave me this morning. I'm giving to you what God gave to me. I want to ask you today, are you lost? Would you say this, preacher? I've been troubled about myself. I've been upset, bothered. And oh, I need something in my life. Can I tell you, that's Jesus. He'll save you and give you eternal life if you'll come to Him. Brother Bud's going to sing. If God spoke to your heart, would you be obedient this morning? Sing, Brother Bud.